Oh, that's perfect head.
And welcome to another show by PW Fenton. It's not really a digital flotsam, and it's not really a perfect head, and it's not really tonight's Blues Day Night Jam. But then again, it is. It's all those things. Okay, before we get started tonight, I gotta talk to you a little. Tonight's show features folks from my favorite city in the whole wide world. Now, I ain't somebody who's never left Trenton, New Jersey in his whole life. I've been all across this country. I've been out across the sea to places like France and Germany, places like Venice, Italy. I've even been to a strange, exotic place called Canada. So when I pick a favorite place in the whole world, it ain't like a person from Peoria, who's never traveled more than 100 miles from home, who picks Springfield as his favorite place in the world. I've been around. My favorite city in the whole wide world is New Orleans, Louisiana. And after Katrina tried to kill it, its own government tried to finish off the job, it still tries to this day. There is actually, very patiently, a movement afoot to eliminate all the things that made it the cradle of jazz, blues, and rock and roll and turned it into Yuppieville. And I don't like that. My wife and I have been visiting New Orleans for quite some time now. One year, we invited my dad to come along, and he had one of the greatest times of his life. We went out one night with the idea that we were going to find a place to dance and enjoy some Cajun music. We flagged down a cab and told the driver we wanted to find a cool place to eat that had Cajun or Zydeco music. He told us very patiently that we were talking about two different things when we said Cajun and Zydeco, and he quizzed us to figure out what we wanted. Satisfied that we were looking for Cajun, he drove us to a joint called Mulates. It was a hot August night, and he was driving with his windows open, and I said, "Yo, how about closing these windows and giving us some AC? And his response was, "Sorry, it's broke." My suspicion was that he was simply saving on gas, but to this day, I don't really know. We eventually got there, and he gave us his card and told us to call when we wanted to go back home. We had a great time there, but my real point is that the cab driver we had been riding with was a guy who was working on his first album, a very unique album that wound up making a national buzz because it incorporated recordings he made of his cab passengers. The album was called A Cab Driver's Blues, and our cab driver's name was Mem Shannon. That album made me think I was right about his AC because it contained this exchange.
You got air conditioner in here?
Sorry, I don't.
What's the matter with it?
Broken. Haven't had time to have it fixed.
Can I get a discount for that or what?
No. I'm sorry.
Can I get a discount for your personality or what?
I'm sorry if you don't agree with my personality, you know.
Well, that cabbie turned out to be a very talented songwriter and one of my favorites.
Look at him. There goes another one. Driving 60 miles an hour just to get to the stop sign. That's just stupid. I don't make much money. My pay is way below average. Can't afford no new car. Still driving my 71 Maverick. She ain't too fast, but she good on gas. She ain't all that slow. She takes me everywhere I wanna go. Been seeing these new vehicles running round. Ain't got no trunk and stand way up off the ground. Now I know they was made for climbing mountains and driving in the snow, but everyone I see trying to run over me when I'm going to the grocery store. I'm sick of these SOBs. They're driving these SUVs and trying to run over me when I'm in my beat-up car. I'm sick of these SOBs. They're driving these SUVs and trying to run over me when I'm in my beat-up car. Wait a minute. What you're driving, nobody has to drive that damn fast. Where could you possibly be going? Now I can remember when I could name every car on the road. You had Cadillacs, Chevrolets, Buicks, Pontiacs, Lincolns, Chryslers, and Fords. Now everybody's driving SUVs and they all look the same. Mountain monsters and land eaters, all kind of old crazy names. Now if my old car lets me down or somebody decides to steal it, I ain't wasting no time going straight to the top. I'm buying an 18-wheeler. I'm sick of these SOBs. They're driving these SUVs and trying to run over me when I'm in my beat-up car. I'm tired of these SOBs driving these SUVs and trying to run over me when I'm in my beat-up car. I can't take no more. I can't take no more. I can't take no more. Can't take no more. Can't take no more. I can't take no more.
That, of course, was Mr. Cab Driver Blues himself, Mem Shannon. Now, that particular tune, SUV, managed to get some mainstream airplay. But so much of Mem's work hasn't received the kind of attention I think it's worth. He's an outstanding writer. Here's a great example, I think. There's a huge hospital in New Orleans built in 1939. At the time it was built, it was the second largest hospital in the United States. It has been the place where New Orleans' poorest residents have gone for their health care. The musicians have used it, the laborers, the taxi drivers, the people making sandwiches in 100 different food joints, the stock boys at the A&P, all the kinds of people that can't afford to pay for their own health insurance. Mem himself was born there. Well, Mem wrote a great song about that hospital, and the name of the song is the name of the hospital, Charity.
Thank you. of pearl. At charity, the doors of charity, baby girl child, wasn't so long ago your mama carried you out the door. Out the doors of charity, through the doors of charity. Now you're back again, about to have a child of your very own, but you're still a little child yourself. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. At charity, mama screams, bringing her child into the world. At charity, through the doors of charity. These walls could talk, they wouldn't have much good to say. Young lives running good short each and every day. They just keep on coming. Will they ever stop the flow? Through the doors. Doors of charity. The doors of charity.
Thank you. Armed Robbery, In-N-Out Grocery, Jackson and Galvez. See Mr. Saeed Muhammad. Saeed.
Now, if you went by Charity Hospital today, you wouldn't hear those sirens wailing or a mother's screams or a newborn baby crying, because this huge modern hospital sits idle and vacant. A victim of Katrina, or more accurately, a victim of Katrina politics and corruption. Charity Hospital was evacuated during Katrina because of the flood damage it sustained. Nothing that couldn't be fixed, of course, but it has never been reopened. A huge, fully equipped teaching hospital abandoned. New Orleans is viewed by many as the cradle of jazz. And on one of our visits, we discovered something called the Cradle of Jazz Tour, a guided tour of New Orleans that concentrated on its incredibly rich musical history. We found it in one of those tourist guides that we usually collect before we go somewhere. A guy named John McCusker, who was a photographer for the Times-Picayune newspaper and an avid amateur music historian, gave these jazz tours using his own van. We called and made reservations. As it turned out, a medical emergency canceled all the other people that were supposed to be on this tour, so it was just me and my wife and John McCusker.
The next person we're going to talk about is a person who lived here at 1716. Sorry you have to crane your necks back. They took all my parking spots. That is the home of Sidney Bechet, the first great saxophonist in jazz. Bechet was born in 1897 into a family, Creole of color family, just like Morton. And he, again, was in a family that wanted to learn to play music, but it was, again, something that you did for fun. For example, Bechet's brother was a dentist who played trombone. Now, Sidney's earliest musical experiences were sitting out on the steps playing on a little tin whistle, a little penny whistle.
In this house?
In this house, sitting on the steps. But his brother Leonard, in addition to having a trombone, had a clarinet in his room. And like all little brothers do, he used to sneak in there and mess around on his brother's clarinet. So when he turned 10 in 1907, they gave him the clarinet, made a present of it. And Sidney's practice schedule developed something like this. In the morning, he would set his clarinet on the windowsill, and of course, being New Orleans, the window was open. He would get his books, pretend to go to school, tell his mom goodbye, come out the door, stuff his books up underneath the house, and then grab the clarinet from outside on the windowsill and ditch school all day and go play his clarinet.
son is okay now, as far as I know, but Katrina dealt him a horrible blow. He came very close to losing his life as a result of Katrina. But probably not in any way that you might imagine. Google him if you want to find out how badly some people were affected by that experience. So I'm thinking I've blabbed too much. I should let some folks from New Orleans speak for themselves musically. So here it is. New Orleans natives Dr. John on piano and Nicholas Payton on the trumpet, celebrating the dear old Southland. For me, personally, New Orleans is all about the music. Oh, yeah, it's also about the food. I love the food. There ain't nothing to eat in New Orleans that ain't wonderful. But it's the music that captures the soul of New Orleans. Where else can you hear world-class music on the street? was Doreen Ketchins and her band of friends doing What Ori Says. And I've heard her and most of those same players playing that right on the street. And I have the pictures to prove it. In fact, the night following that daylight performance, I went and waited online to get into the fabled Preservation Hall to see a performance by the ever-changing Preservation Hall Jazz Band. And who did I see playing tuba? Lawrence Ketchins, husband of Doreen, who I had just heard and you just heard.
Thank you.
few blocks away on the legendary Rampart Street, Rampart and St. Anne's to be exact, was a mecca for the younger version of this music. It seems the younger generation had adopted the concept of the brass band and updated it to fit themselves. And the place to play it was a little club selling cold beer and hot soul food called Donna's.
This is an original by the Soul Rebels brass band called Let Your Mind Be Free. When we speak of Let Your Mind Be Free, first we talk about racial discrimination. Black, white, red, brown, yellow, doesn't matter what color you are, because we all under the same Lord and we bleed the same color blood red. We talk about world peace, helping our brothers and sisters in South Africa, in Bosnia, Haiti, over in Japan, Northern Iraq, Northern Vietnam, South Vietnam, over in Germany, Brazil, Russia. We talk about here home and Washington, and Dallas, Seattle, Miami, Detroit, New Orleans, Los Angeles, talking about Pittsburgh, talking about everywhere in the United States, the St. Thomas, the Magnolia, the Calliope, the Iowaville, the Beach, the St. Bernard, the Florida, the Zion, the Fisher, let your mind be free, stop the killing, stop the killing, stop the killing, stop the killing.
We'll be right back. dance, let it be free. Say jump, 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 jump,
once again, you have heard something about a place that no longer exists. Just recently, Donna's closed its doors, and Charlie Sims is no longer cooking that delicious soul food. Unfortunately, Donna's at that moment was the last musical venue on Rampart Street, a street of musical legend. Not too long before Donna's closed, the only other remaining Rampart Street venue, the Funky Butt, closed its doors. Speaking of the Funky Butt, I need to tell you a little story. One day, I don't know how many years ago, I'm listening to NPR, probably Weekend Edition, and they're telling a story about a photo exhibition in New Orleans. Now, you wouldn't think that a photo exhibition would make for a very interesting radio. After all, you can't see the photos. But that was the whole point. Neither could the photographer. It was an exhibition of photographs taken by a blind photographer, Mr. Henry Butler. Of course, I listened intently. And during the program, they mentioned that he was a New Orleans-based musician. They might have even played a few snippets of music. I'm not sure. But the piece was so interesting that I decided to find out more about him. Among the first things I heard was this incredible piece, a tribute to James Booker.
Thank you.
Thus began a long quest to see him live. Every time we went to New Orleans, though, he'd be out of town. It got to be a joke. Every time we would go to New Orleans, he'd be somewhere else. But then, during one visit, I discovered he was going to be playing at the Funky Butt. The place that I just mentioned is gone now. We were staying in a cute little apartment on Esplanade, just on the edge of the quarter. I was finally going to get to see him. However, we made two really big mistakes that night. First mistake, after dinner, we decided to stop at O'Brien's, a touristy place we had never been to. O'Brien's is most well known for a drink called a hurricane. A hurricane is a cool and refreshing drink that looks and tastes almost like Kool-Aid, but it packs a mighty alcoholic wallop. Of course, it's served in a special giant glass. Now, my wife, Roz, had two. I had at least four. It could have been more. Even though I have identified this as a mistake, we had a fantastic time. I have never seen my wife so snockered and out of control. After the second hurricane, she was wandering from table to table, introducing herself and giving everyone a personal nickname based on where they were from. Hey, St. Louis, say hello to Philly. He's a dentist, too. She was soon the most popular person in the bar. There was laughing and singing and all sorts of revelry. More important to me, she was not at our table to slow me down as I kept ordering more hurricanes. Finally, and I don't remember why, we decided to leave. We walked out onto the street, and I looked at my watch. Still pretty early, actually. Roz said, "Let's go back to the apartment and freshen up." A good idea, since we had been out all day in the August heat and, you know, looked rather shiny. Now, earlier, I might have said no. It would have been a fairly long walk that would have been murder on my back. But now I could feel no pain. Shoot, I could hardly feel my legs. So we walked back to the apartment and took showers. Then we made mistake number two. Roz said, "This show at the Funky Butt doesn't start until late. Let's nap for a little while before we have to leave." Of course, you've guessed the rest of that story. I've still never seen Henry Butler in New Orleans. I did see him and even meet him eventually in Helena, Arkansas, but Roz has still never seen him. Likewise, this New Orleans resident and transplant from the UK has also evaded me on my visits.
Now there's a law of the jungle.
is the law of the land. You call in the middle, you just try to make it the best you can. Oh, it's a fool's game,
fool's game.
Yes, it is.
It's a damn fool's game,
it's a fool's game.
Fool's game.
Yeah, it's a damn fool's game.
Damn fool's game.
Man, a mistake, a crying shame. To get caught playing the damn fool's game. A bad mistake, a crying shame. To get caught playing the damn fool's game.
Of course, John Cleary, who lately plays keyboards for Bonnie Raitt every time she tours. So, O'Brien's, where we met the Hurricane, is one of those touristy places. New Orleans is full of them. Not that they're bad, we had a blast at O'Brien's. And we've enjoyed many touristy places. Shoot, Bourbon Street, probably the best known street in New Orleans, is nothing but touristy stuff. Sleazy touristy stuff. I stepped over a dead body once on Bourbon Street. No lie. But that's a whole nother story. One day, Roz and I were walking down Decatur Street after tackling a couple of muffalettas at the Central Grocery, and we strolled past Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. Now, I have nothing against Jimmy Buffett. I wish him nothing but success and happiness, but he's never been my cup of tea, and furthermore, I couldn't imagine why there would even be a Margaritaville in New Orleans. Florida Keys, yes. New Orleans? I don't know. I also couldn't imagine why I'd want to go into one in any city, but especially in New Orleans. But then walking by, I heard this music coming out. And there inside was the legendary Eddie Bowe. We'll be right back. We spent a few hours in there just enjoying this vivacious musician, the creator of Czech Mr. Popeye, doing his thing. But as I mentioned earlier, some of the greatest music is played right on the street by people who are anonymous. Many times after a long night of partying, I found myself greeting the new day over beignets and coffee at Café Dumont as I was serenaded by a two- or three-piece jazz combo complete with stand-up bass. One particular Sunday morning, Roz and I got up way too early. It must have been around 8 a.m. when we hit the street. We had a room on St. Anne's, a half a block from Jackson Square. About the only place we thought that would be open at that hour was the Café Dumont, so that was our plan. As we stepped out of the hotel door, though, we heard music. Music not far away. We walked to Jackson Square, and there, sitting on a bench facing the museum on Charter Street, was a young guy just wailing. He was playing a mustard-yellow National Steel guitar, stomping his foot to keep time, and singing at the top of his lungs. We stood there at least two full songs, the only people around. He was incredibly good. I was stunned as we continued on to breakfast. Here I was in New Orleans, and a street performer singing to no one in particular was better than anyone I had heard in the Tampa Bay area where I lived. It was a good year later before I discovered that he was this guy, Corey Harris.
Anthony Nason. Tuba facts you need. He said, yeah. Little Corey, you know Sarge will leave you alone. Just learn the words to that tune, Stardust. I said, what? Guess that's why I never liked me. What's a tree gonna do without its roots? Marvin Butler? What about Hurley Riley? Y'all bad. Thank y'all so much.
So there you have it, another edition of the Blues Day Night Jam. A little bit more like a digital flotsam, or even an episode of my other music show, Perfect Head. My hope is that listeners of all three of these shows will go ahead and check out the others. So for the listeners of Blues Day Night Jam, we'll put all the chairs up on the tables. For listeners of Perfect Head, we'll pour one more for the road. And for listeners of Digital Flotsam, we will let my old friend, Big Al Waller, point out that
P-Dub holded the microphone.
Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans and miss it each night and day? I know I'm not wrong, the feeling's getting stronger the longer I stay away. Miss the moss-covered vines, the tall sugar pines, where mockingbirds used to sing. And I'd like to see the lazy Mississippi a-hurrying into spring. Oh, the Mardi Gras, the memories of Creole's tunes that fill the air. I dream of old Yanders in June, and soon I'm wishing that I were there. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans when that's where you left your heart? There's something more, I miss the one I care for more than I miss New Orleans.